facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Tremendous Tuesday to you. So glad you're with me on the show today. Call in right now. 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line to call to talk to me for free on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888. I normally charge like $5 a minute for this, but for you it's free. 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the program if you are so inclined. Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com is the email address. And you can tweet at me, as always. Follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account, which is really the shadow account of producer Lucas, at Cale Clark Show. You can follow that one, too. It's always good. It's always good. It's always good to be with you. And today is a really, really cool feast day. It's actually the feast of Blessed Lucy of Narnia. Yep. She is not just a fictional character. She is real. I'm going to talk about her later on in the program. I know producer Lucas, he's a big Narnia fan. He's super excited about this. So you're going to want to hear about this because I didn't know anything about her until today. I had to do some research, had to get my crack staff, the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, to work on this. But I found out a lot about her. Lucas tipped me off, and I did my homework. So I'm going to share that with you later. Really cool. And she's looking for one more miracle to be canonized still. So she lived in the 14th century. So she's waiting for one last one, but she is blessed, and we're going to talk about her in a little bit. I think you'll really enjoy that. But here's a question for you, and you can call in right now. I bet you $1 million that you guys have strong opinions on this. Would you choose your parish church for its priest, or would you not go to a particular parish because of its priest? What do you think about that? Or are you sort of in the camp that would say, you know what, no, that's my local parish church. This is my community. This is where God put me. Bloom where you're planted. I got to stay here. No matter how bad of a preacher this guy is, no matter how unorthodox the priest may be, I'm sticking here. This is my church. Yeah. So where do you come down on this? Would you choose your parish, or would you move parishes because of the priest? It's kind of interesting because what made me think about this was the Fall Assembly, of course, as you know, if you've been following the media. The Fall Assembly of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is happening right now in Baltimore, in the Charm City. Maybe some people from Baltimore want to call in, 888-914-9149. They haven't actually met. The bishops of the United States have not actually met together since the year 2019. And a lot of things have happened since then. Obviously, COVID precluded it over 2020. And they've got a lot to talk about. And what's really kind of heartwarming and I think is a great, great sign is that I did see a tweet, and I forget who posted this. A lot of journalists are covering this. But I did see a tweet about how they're all signing up for all hours of the night. They're doing perpetual adoration there in Baltimore at the conference center. And the bishops themselves are signing up for like late night, overnight shifts to keep watch with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I thought that was really, really cool, signing up for adoration overnight. And that's a really good sign because obviously prayer has got to be at the key for at the foundation of all that they're doing. And they're making some big decisions in Baltimore. So they're the pastors of the American church, the bishops, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And of course, the whole reason why we have priests is because of the fact that the bishop can't be everywhere at once. In the early church, St. Ignatius of Antioch, he said this in one of his letters. He said, wherever the bishop is, let the people gather. For wherever the bishop is, there is Jesus Christ. And wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. And that was the first time anybody that we know of used the word Catholic Church in a written document. And, of course, it became necessary to come up with that official name for the church that Jesus founded. Because even back then, there were other groups that split off from the Catholic Church, wanted to do their own thing. I guess you could call them proto-Protestants, if you will. Different groups said, no, we've got the real truth. We've got the real inside scoop. Come with us. You know, groups like the Gnostics and other types of groups that split off, didn't want to stick with the apostolic faith, didn't want to be in communion with the successor of Peter and the apostles. So it became necessary to distinguish the church that Jesus founded from all these other groups that were out there, hence the name the Catholic or Universal Church. How do you know you're in the Catholic Church? Well, your bishop could trace his line of succession all the way back to one of the original 12 apostles. and they would zealously guard these documents in the early churches of Christendom. And in fact, they even had, in many cases, the original manuscripts, which is really cool as a Bible geek that I am. The original manuscripts of the actual letters of St. Paul were like kept. For example, the church at Rome had a copy, the original copy of Romans in the church. Or Ephesus, you know, his letter to the Ephesians. You could actually go check it out. The early fathers talk about this. This is really, really cool stuff. But anyways, the bishop can't be everywhere at once, so he designates some of his powers to priests who are basically his assistants, and they are able to celebrate the sacraments, preach the word of God. And wow, the phone lines are lighting up. They are lighting up. And my question for you is, would you choose your church, your local parish church, because of its priest? Or would you leave and go to a different parish because of its priest? Maybe you don't like the homilies. I think it's really an important question. I really do. And the good thing about the Catholic Church, listen, I'm going to tip my hand right now. I'll tell you what I think. I would actually. I'm in the camp that if an unorthodox priest who wasn't adhering to the teaching of the church, or who wasn't on board with the church's teachings, or maybe who was celebrating the Mass in his own unique way. And actually, unfortunately, I did see that this past weekend. An older priest was kind of subbing in at the parish where I went to Mass this past Sunday. And he kind of changed the words of the Eucharistic prayer just for fun. Well, he probably thought he was making a theological point. Now, I think it's still valid. It was still a valid consecration, but it was illicit. Valid, but illicit. Because he went back to the old translation. You know, it will be, talk about the blood of the new covenant, it shall be poured out for you and for all. He didn't like for many, which is the current valid translation. And to me, I don't know, I mean, I don't know this guy, but he was probably, maybe he's a universalist, maybe he thinks all are going to heaven, you know, and that was never the sense, even when that was the translation, of course, but anyways, these are the types of things that would drive me nuts. And the good thing about being Catholic is that it's a little bit, I don't want to be too flip here, but it's a little bit like a franchise, a little bit like McDonald's. Like, listen, the Mass is the Mass is the Mass is the Mass. So you don't have to go to this parish on this corner to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, to go and fulfill your Sunday obligation. You can go to another parish. It might be a bit more of a drive, but if it is more faithful to the teaching of the church, that's what I would do. Sometimes convenience is the key for a lot of people. Oh, it's just so close, you know, I'll put up with this. How much are you willing to put up with? Would you change your parish for the priest? Call me, 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're going to go to the phones right now, actually. We're going to go to Margaret, who's calling from Lakewood, California. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about you, Margaret?
I'm okay. Can you hear me all right?
Sure can. You're on the air right now. We can hear you loud and clear. What's
Thank
your take
you.
On this?
You just brought up a subject that a group of us parishioners actually had a late night conversation about exactly this. There's probably a group of 8 of us that are looking for a different parish now because the priest has leaned so far to the left, when he consecrates the host, he doesn't hold it up for very long or uses just one hand.
Okay.
He doesn't use the bells. He doesn't like the incense. I mean, we're not totally traditionalists, but we're cradle Catholic, and he's trying to make it sound that communion, anybody can have communion, and that is wrong, and so therefore, he even mentioned that the loaves and fish distribution was a representation of the Eucharist and how he fed all the multitude. And that was an example of how everyone can go to communion.
Yeah, he didn't check their doctrinal credentials at the door, at the multiplication of the loaves. He didn't check to see if they'd gone to confession. I could see somebody saying that. Clearly, not even obviously, Margaret, you've raised some valid concerns. Those are the kinds of things that I simply would not abide myself. And yeah, this whole thing, yeah. I mean, not even all Catholics can receive the Eucharist if they're not in a state of grace. Now, some people do anyways, which is a sacrilegious communion. You're just kind of heaping mortal sin upon mortal sin in that sense. And a lot of people don't know because they've never been taught, which is unfortunate. That's a bad sign when the communion line is a lot longer than the confession line, which is often the case for many reasons, but yeah, that's troubling. That's troubling. And the good thing is there are other parishes around that probably, you know, have faithful priests who stick with the doctrine of the church and aren't going to do stuff like that. And I think in some ways, if we vote with our feet on these issues, you know, we can do that. We have the ability to do that. I think that sends a message too. Some people might, again, some people might take the alternate view, and maybe you fall into that camp. And hey, Margaret, I really do appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. That was Margaret in Lakewood, California. Some people might take the alternate view and say, well, hey, if all the faithful Catholics leave the parish, it's all going to be given completely over to the unorthodox, and then the parish will just, you know, that's it. So we have to stay. We have to be the salt and light. I can see that. I can see people saying that. Maybe you think that. If that's your take too, give me a call. I want to hear about this. What's your take on this? 888-914-9149. And we're actually going to go back to California right now. Will is calling from Northern California. Hi, Will.
Hi, Kale.
Hey, thanks for calling. Yeah, what's your take on this?
Yeah, we used our feet. I had just been through a Curcio type movement at our parish, and a young priest, you know, Immaculate Heart Radio had just come to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I told the priest, I was like, wow, isn't this great? And he made a very negative comment about the Catholic radio. Now, this was in a parish that the pastor would actually, may he rest in peace, pastor would actually go against what the bishop would say, let's say in the newspaper, and the bishops were very much in line with the magisterium and such, and the newspapers would go to the pastor and get the real comment that the newspapers wanted to hear and stuff. So, but that was the parish we were in. So after this comment, it was kind of like the on the road to Emmaus, and our eyes were open, so we went to a new parish.
Yeah. Wow. Well, hey, I can tell you this: if a priest ever says, and by the way, the reference to Immaculate Heart Radio, Immaculate Heart Radio, of course, merged with Relevant Radio, so they're now, you know, that is Relevant Radio. You know what this priest didn't like. So now if he said, you know, hey, the Cale Clark Show is not a terrible show, that you know you're in the wrong place. Then you got to leave right away. I'm only kidding.
It must have been. I don't know when it. It was maybe 8 years ago or so.
Okay,
I'm not really sure. Whenever
it was before my time. That was before my time, Will. And no, but I appreciate that call, Will. Thank you very much, and appreciate the listen too. That was Will calling from Northern California. Yes, shame. You must love Relevant Radio. You have to. Come on, man. It's pretty awesome, don't you think? 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Would you change parishes because of the priest? Would you go to a different parish because you heard there's an awesome priest there? The way, I don't know. I mean, I think every diocese, every archdiocese has a different regulation on this. Where I live, you can be a pastor for up to really 12 years in one place. That's a long time. That's a long time to wait out. You know, somebody who's a raving heretic, let's say, or something like that. You know, I'm not saying don't try to talk to these guys. Don't try to help them. Obviously, pray for them. Talk to the bishop if necessary, if something is really well off the rails. But do you really want to spend the next decade or maybe more in a place that's not faithful to the teaching of the church? I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't personally. I'm not saying there's a right answer to this question, but hey. Maybe you have a different take. We're going to go now to Ed in somewhere in the Southwest, at an undisclosed location in the Southwest. We have Ed. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Cale. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling.
I'm not particularly fond of the priest at our parish, just in his style, leadership style, and the way he conducts himself and treats people. But, you know, I've resolved myself. I'm going to be there one more day than he is, first off. Secondly, I always remember back when I was, you know, younger, my father, who wasn't even Catholic, would tell us, you know, we'd complain about something about the church or the priest or something. He says, why do you go to church if you're going to go there to complain or whatever? You know, you're supposed to go there and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hmm. And those words really, you know, stuck with me. And quite frankly, I rise above it and just, you know, march on and, you know, might roll my eyes a few times. But this is, you know, this is the parish. I live there. It's, you know, it's our parish, not his parish. And that's what, you know, how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hey, well, I appreciate that call, Ed. And thanks for calling, first-time caller. I really do appreciate anybody who's calling in for the first time. You're welcome to 1-888-914-9149. Ed, I would just maybe just add a little tweak to that and say, well, it's not the priest's church. It's not your church either. It's God's church, right? So that's the key. And it is ours too, of course, in a certain sense. But what you said there, you know, that it was kind of drilled into you to go to church because of Christ. Christ is there no matter what's, you know, how bad the homily is or whatever, or how awful the singing is. It doesn't matter. Christ is there. Yeah, and as long as it's a validly celebrated Eucharist, of course, that is the case. And you've got a valid Mass. And so I think it was St. Augustine who said that, you know, when Peter, you know, celebrates the Mass, you know, Jesus is celebrating the Mass, you know, in persona Christi. When Judas, you know, celebrates the Mass, not that Judas ever celebrated any Masses, he's making the point. When Judas celebrates the Mass, Jesus celebrates the Mass, right? So, or maybe that was I might be messing up my sacraments here. I think he might have been referring to the sacrament of confession, but it doesn't really matter, because when Jesus is borrowing the vocal cords of the priest, even if he's unorthodox in his theology, as long as he does what the church intends and says the words of consecration correctly, Christ is there, despite his shortcomings, and that is true, and that's God overriding, making sure that his people get the nourishment that they need in spite of the failings of that priest. And there are some places where that is the case for people. They do have to kind of grit their teeth and just kind of get through it, because there are no other options. There are no other parishes in their area. They may live in a place where it's rural, it's very remote, there's only one Catholic church, and you don't have a say in this. And so that is a very, very important point to make, Ed, that it's Christ that's here, right? And we absolutely have to keep that in mind. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Would you choose a parish church for its priests? 1-888-914-9149. We will be right back after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back on this Tuesday. We are talking about this topic. Should you change your parish church or choose your church based on who the priest is, and whether he's Orthodox, whether he's not, whether he's a good preacher, whether he's not. I want to hear your answer to this question. And the phone lines are really heating up on this. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also try tweeting at me. And if we get some good tweets on this, we can read them on the air at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Oh, I think I know who this is, but I did not set this up. I think I know who this is. Michaela is on the line from Toronto. Hello, Michaela.
I want to talk about that. didn't move away from your brothers because they didn't, because you didn't like them.
Oh, okay. I made out, I think, about 80% of that. Sorry, we have a bad connection, Michaela. We have a bad connection. And literally, Michaela is probably calling from the next room because that's my daughter who's on the line. You hear her voice at the end of the show every night. And I think what Michaela said was that you should not change from your parish priest. You should not go away from your local parish priest. And I obviously have already said that I kind of disagree with that take. So obviously my daughter and I, my five-year-old, are not on the same page here. So this is why every Sunday it's just a fight in our home. Where are we going to Mass today? You know, and she's like, we gotta stay with our local parish. And I'm like, no. I'm only kidding. But clearly, I'm kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of Catholic radio. Obviously, and I don't get no respect. You know, I gotta get my kid on the same page. What is happening? But anyways, I apologize, Michaela. We had a bad connection there. Maybe I forgot to pay the cell phone bill. I don't know what happened there, but please do try to call back another time, and you can complain to me about this after the show, for sure. For sure. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show, 888-914-9149. We're going to go now to Patricia. That's a lovely name. That's my wife's name, but it's a different Patricia, obviously, who's calling from New Mexico. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Hi.
Hey.
So we did have to change churches when we were raising our children, and the priest was actually teaching falsehoods directly to the children.
You're kidding.
And we had talked to him before. I mean, stuff came up during the Mass. There were other things going on, but when that started happening, we definitely had to move. But I will say that we moved to a parish where the priest had been like him, and he told us that that parish prayed for him. And he had what I would call a reversion,
wow.
Or a Marian. He became a Marian priest. So I was so grateful for the other parish. He had moved from them.
Huh.
It was in another state. So I don't know if I would move now, with my children not being, influenced.
Yeah.
And I would not move for silly reasons like they don't give the best sermons or those types of things. But I might go visit some of those other parishes nearby.
You might do a little church hopping. Patricia, are you comfortable saying, if it's not too scandalous, what sort of things was this errant priest teaching your kids at the time that you moved parishes?
Well, in the he had a youth mass. I'll give you one example. He had a youth mass where he said that someday you girls can be priests.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's one example. He also had a brother that visited, that did some of the masses at that. They were both priests at that parish. And he did the, my husband was a confirmation teacher, and he did the confirmation retreat, and he did some horrendous things during the mass at the retreat. So,
oh, boy. Yeah.
Bad examples.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I always say as a joke. We have millions of women priests in the Catholic Church because we're all priests by virtue of our baptism, right? We share in the priesthood of Christ. Now the ministerial priest, that's the ministerial priesthood is another matter altogether. And there are theological reasons for that. So anyways, that's my lame attempt at humor, but Patricia, thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate your take on this. And thanks for listening to the show. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, great. Thank you, Patricia. That was Patricia calling from New Mexico. For a second, I actually did think it was my wife. I thought my daughter called, and then my wife called right after. That would be too much of a family affair, I think. But although it's always nice to hear my wife's voice. We're going to go to Victor. Victor in Pomona, California. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Cal. Thank you. No, I would not change my beautiful parish that's over 100 years old for the
Whoa.
Priest. Our pastor sometimes is very arrogant, but I don't go to see the man who can be weak in the flesh as I am. I go to see him as the theologian. He's an excellent theologian explaining the gospel, and I really feel that Christ is present, and I go to see Christ. And he has done some great things, brought reverence to our church, and brought back the wonderful adoration for the Blessed Sacrament. So no, I would not change.
Okay. So he's a great theologian, your pastor, but it seems that he knows that very well. he's pretty arrogant about it. So, but you know what? And you said, Victor, you know, that's fine. That's obviously an issue that he needs to deal with, but you're getting quality knowledge from him. And I think was it Teresa of Avila who said that, hey, I would much rather have a spiritual director who was learned than a spiritual director who's holy. Now, it's great if you got both, but I can learn a lot more from the learned guy than I can from, like, sometimes there are a lot of holy souls who are extremely holy, and that's what really ultimately counts, but perhaps they're not as eloquent, or perhaps they're not the storehouse of theological knowledge, as it were. And she always said, hey, you know, I'm going to go for both if I can, but if I have a choice between somebody who's holy and not that learned, or somebody who's, you know, maybe he's a little arrogant, but he's learned, I'm going to go with the learned guy because I can learn a lot from him that I can apply in my own life. So that's kind of an interesting take. So, hey, Victor, I appreciate that call very much. That was Victor calling from Pomona, California. We're going to go now to Edna in Rochelle Park, New Jersey. Hi, Edna.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. I just want to tell you that a few years ago when Father Larry Evans was going to, they transferred him to another parish. Uh-huh. I asked him, where are you going? Because he was the greatest. He was so good and very wise man and very good. My son loved him, and it was like everybody likes him, and he was great. Mm-hmm. And I said, where are you going? And he says, no, don't follow me. Follow Jesus. So it was wise. It was so great.
Yeah, and God bless them, you know. And I think that's something that we need to pray for priests, obviously. We need to pray for them really hard. We need to pray for the bishops who are meeting in Baltimore. It's really, really crucial that they come together and make good decisions, because it affects the church all across America. It has ripple effects, too, all around the world. And I like that, you know, don't follow me, follow Jesus. And I think it's tough for priests because, on one hand, a lot of people do not want to see the priest. There's the sort of people on the fence, people on the edge, people who are, you know, very secular. And obviously a lot of them are, unfortunately, they lump all the good priests in with some of the evil that's been taking place in the church. And obviously the great, I don't need to expand on this, the great scandals that have been happening in the church, which are always one scandal is one too many. This evil, this cancer needs to be excised from the body of Christ for sure. But so a lot of people are very hostile towards priests on one hand, but then there's always like the danger of becoming a celebrity priest as well. And I think a lot of priests, they always have a club of people around them that that want to give them things and treat them like, you know, put them on a pedestal, and you know what I'm talking about. And I remember one time, there was one priest, a priest friend that I know, really great priest, Father Charles. It was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Father. One time, he likes to play golf, and I like to play golf, as some of you guys might know who listen to the program. So one time, I set up a golf game with myself, Father Charles, and a couple more friends. And one of the guys who was there, he was a Catholic businessman, and he was fairly well off. And so he tried to pay for Father's round of golf. And Father said, absolutely not. And he said, what are you talking about? You know, nobody's ever said no to me before. He said, listen, I'm not going to accept that. No, please let me do it. And he said, no, I'm serious. He said, you are not paying for my round of golf. If you pay for my round of golf today, I'm never playing golf with you again. That's what this priest said. I thought, wow, that's incredible. And the guy was shocked. He was absolutely shocked. And I thought it was a great example of somebody who didn't want to take advantage of the situation and trying to stay humble and not getting used to that sort of thing. I think that's really an important sign of spiritual maturity. So you're listening to The Cale Clark Show. Really appreciate that call, Edna, on Relevant Radio. And you can call me about this topic, 888-914-9149. We're going to go now to the Twin Cities. We're going to go to Kathy in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hey, what's your opinion on this question?
Well, I think you are very courageous to even ask this question. I have changed parishes more times than I can count, and never have I changed without really sticking through it, having good conversation with the priests, and just leaving with my, just in tears, because they are not teaching biblical truth. They are, I feel at this point they're considered fraudulent priests.
Really?
I had one priest that just recently wouldn't even talk about abortion. He said it wasn't in the Bible. We have very few good priests, what I would consider good, holy priests. Father James Altman from La Crosse. And look what happened to him. They've defrocked him. While we have other priests that we know are evil men, and they do nothing. So not only have I changed parishes more times than I can count, I just have stopped going to Catholic churches altogether in this past year and a half. And that makes me sad.
Kathy, I think that's a serious mistake. That's a serious mistake. So have you been attending Protestant congregations then?
I've been attending the most biblical holy churches that I've never had such respectful, just in love with Jesus churches before. I've never been to a Catholic church that has spoken truth out of the Bible without slanting it or without telling stupid stories with all of this stuff. I've even gone to our archdiocese, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Archdiocese, and I've had weekly conversations with them, telling them about the troubles that I've experienced. Going to churches where they say, our mother, you know, for the our father, and they do nothing. The archdiocese, the archbishop has come straight out at me and said, I am not going to talk to these priests and tell them what they should be saying, what they should be preaching on. And I understand that to a certain extent. But when the masses, I mean the people, leave those churches in mass, does that make sense?
It's a funny pun.
Tens and tens and tens of hundreds of people have left some of these churches. They're my friends. We've been going to these churches forever, and they have left because of the priests.
Well, let me jump in here for a second, Kathy, because you've obviously raised a lot of important points. First of all, I if you have complained about some of these liturgical abuses that were going on, and the bishop has said, I don't want to do anything about it, I think that's wrong. I think that is part of his responsibility. Now, in a lot of large dioceses and archdioceses, there are assistant bishops who actually, that is their job, to kind of be that doctrinal police and kind of follow up with some of these complaints. And yeah, if outright heresy is being preached from the pulpit, theologically unsound stuff, that's an issue that needs to be dealt with. You can't just say, well, you know, these guys are going to do what they're going to do. I mean, that's an abdication of responsibility, in my view. The bishop is supposed to be a spiritual father, and sometimes you need to discipline your sons, who are the priests, and that's part of the deal. But anyways, I don't know the full situation, but I will say that one thing I do find it a little bit. It seems like you've been to a lot of parishes. I find it hard to believe that there isn't one good priest in the entire area, that, you know, or one faithful priest that you could attend those masses. Because I want to ask you this, and I understand that the allure, believe me, you're talking to a guy, Kathy, you're talking to a guy who left the Catholic Church, became a Protestant minister for 10 years. I understand the allure of some of the preaching that you can hear outside of the Catholic Church. And there are a lot of people in the Protestant world, in the evangelical world, that know Scripture really, really well. And they explain it super well, and sometimes can be great communicators. And we often don't see that, unfortunately, in the Catholic Church. But there are, you know, there is a lot of that in the church too.
Interrupt. This has nothing to do with, you know, they sing three songs and sit down and then have a 45-minute dialogue with, you know, they're on stage. It has nothing to do with that. When I am in those environments, that is the thing that turns me off the most. And okay. So I don't need to be entertained. I need to have a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And when I have emails, multiple emails back and forth between an archdiocese, two archdioceses, and I get this, I get the most horrible answers, such as I one of that I pointed out. I can't advocate. So, like the other person said.
But here's the thing. Let me jump in here, though, Kathy. The thing is, like, even though administratively it might be a bad scene, and even though there are sinners in the church, there are a lot of sinners in the church, and I'm one of them for sure. It's still the church founded by Jesus Christ, and these other places, they do not have Christ present in the Eucharist. How could you possibly leave Christ in the Eucharist? That's what I don't understand. How could you walk away from Jesus? Because he is there, despite the craziness. He is still there. How could you live without the Sunday Eucharist?
You know why I walk away? I walk away because I know that what they are doing is so egregious. And if I am there, I am telling the rest of the congregation, hey, this is okay. And it's not. So we are big tithers. And I just, we are taking our money elsewhere.
Okay, hey, Kathy, listen, I pray that you do remain in the Catholic Church, because this is what Martin Luther did at the start of the Protestant Revolution. There were issues in the church, huge issues, as there always have been in every age. And his solution was, I'm going to leave. And that was the wrong solution. The right solution would have been to stay, fight the abuses, but remain faithful to the Bride of Christ. Yes, there are problems, huge problems, but it's still the church Christ founded. He is still there in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle. Kathy, I got to go. I'm up against it here. I do thank you for your call. I ask everybody out there to pray for Kathy, that she might stay and fight the good fight in the Catholic Church. But I really do appreciate that call. That was Kathy calling from the Twin Cities. Got to take a quick break. This is obviously touching a nerve, this question of would you change parishes because of your priest? Would you go to a different parish down the road because you heard there's an awesome preacher there? Or would you leave a parish because, hey, this guy seems unorthodox, he is not thinking with the church? Let me know. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. Yeah, there is a real-life Lucy of Narnia. I'm going to talk about her in just a second. But we've been having an amazing conversation on the show today about this question. And by the way, I read an article about this, and I haven't even had a chance to get to what this guy was talking about, because as soon as I mentioned this question, would you change parishes because of the priest, the phone lines just lit up. And I want to go back to the phones right now, because there's a lot of people on hold. I'll get to as many as I possibly can. But Jennifer is on the line from Wisconsin. Hi, Jennifer.
I was third generation in the parish, raising the fourth generation in our family. And my children were already teenagers, so this did not affect me.
Okay.
But we had a priest who came in, and he would stop the Mass if there was a baby crying, and he would say, I'll wait. And he would wait for the parent to walk those children out or take the tiny crying babies out. A lot of young, and this wasn't just one day, this was consistent every Sunday. And we lost a lot of, myself included, a lot of young families and a lot of grandparents.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't say, we'll wait. He said, I'll wait.
Well, okay. That is cringe. That is absolutely cringe, Jennifer. I got to tell you, before I had a child myself, I totally was like that. I'll just, you know, sort of confess this sin here publicly. I always kind of judged people who had noisy kids at Mass. And boy, you know, parenting is very humbling, and that's one of the things that happens to you, is that it's like, oh, man. Okay, so I totally understand. Now that I'm a parent, I understand. Kids are fidgety. Some kids do, like, kind of sit through everything, and they're very well-behaved, and they can kind of be chill. Other kids are noisy. They cry, especially if they're young. Sometimes they throw tantrums. Sometimes I've seen this happen, too, in different places where the priest will say, you know, kind of stop preaching and, you know, wait for the, you know, please take your child. I've even heard guys say, like, take your child out, please, or whatever, you know. And that's extremely embarrassing for the parent to be singled out by the priest and say, you got to go now. And and everybody's watching this person, and that's I think it's really unfair. Part of it is just I just think they don't understand how they haven't walked a mile in those shoes, obviously, and it's tough. It is tough. I used to be like that. I used to have the same sort of mindset about that, and I said, man, why can't these parents do it right? Yeah, but obviously I know better now. And I do think this does harm, in many cases, a lot of young families. They get turned off. They don't want to come. They're afraid to go to Mass. They're afraid because their kid might make noises or whatever. And I think these guys, my personal opinion, my private opinion is that, which I guess I'm making public now, but is that you just got to phase it out. You just got to block it out. You just got to somehow focus on it. Just be thankful that they're there. I mean, because we do need, the Catholic Church is hemorrhaging people, especially younger people. And we've done a lot of talk about this on the program. The stats are not looking very good. For every one person who is baptized at the Easter Vigil in North America, six people are leaving the church. That's not good. We're hemorrhaging people. I mean, what are we supposed to say to these families? Oh, bring them back when they're 18, when they can kind of control themselves? No. I mean, they have to be there. They have to be part of the believing community. And so that's my take on it.
Thank you.
Oh, you got it. Now, obviously, there are limits to this, right? I mean, if a kid is like, one time I saw this kid, like, he got away from his parents. He was literally running around the church, like, he was doing laps around all the pews. And the parents were, like, kind of okay with that. All right. And then the priest said, listen, this is a little, okay, it's gone too far. And I do agree with that. There are some situations where it's kind of a judgment call, but sometimes, you can't just let people go wild here, but on the other hand, it's tough. It's really tough. And so parents, keep bringing your kids to Mass. And it's good for other parishioners to see that too, to see the family, to see families in church is really, really important. I think it's really important. And, it's a good witness. And it's attractive to people. I know that some people might give you the stink eye. I want things to be quiet in my church, but no, it's good. It's good. We need it. We absolutely need it. And you're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I got to tell you this real quick because we'll get back to your calls in a sec. But I have to say this today because today is the day. Today is the feast day about somebody I didn't even know about, Blessed Lucy of Narnia. Producer Lucas connected me with this story because he is a massive, massive Chronicles of Narnia fan to the point where, I mean, this is really reminiscent of that old Saturday Night Live skit, Lazy Sunday. You remember that one with Chris Parnell and Andy Samberg? Check this out. Yeah. Pass the chronic, what kills of Narnia? And they're buying Magnolia cupcakes and going to see a matinee of the Chronicles of Narnia in Upper West Side Cinema. That was season 31 of Saturday Night Live, way back in 2005, and that was funny. That was really good, but obviously, producer Lucas is really into the Narnia books. I'm more into obviously C.S. Lewis's apologetic works and Lucas's as well. To my everlasting shame, I'm not as much of a literary guy as producer Lucas is. But here's a clip. Lucas, we're going to make you happier. We're going to show, we're going to just play a little bit of a clip of the Lucy from Narnia in the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia.
Aslan. Oh. I knew it was you. The whole time, I knew it. But the others didn't believe me.
And why would that stop you from coming to me?
I'm sorry. Too scared to come alone. Why wouldn't you show yourself? Why couldn't you come roaring in and save us like last time?
Things never happen the same way twice, dear one.
Fair Camellia, with everyone who died, could I have stopped that?
We can never know what would have happened, Lucy. But what will happen is another matter entirely.
And you'll help?
Of course. As will you.
Oh, I wish I was braver.
If you were any braver, you'd be a lioness.
Okay, so obviously in that I must confess, I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie. And I'll blow it for you here. Spoiler alert. Aslan the lion is Jesus. Okay, so Lucy is talking to the lion. All right. So, but what about the real-life Lucy of Narnia? What about the... Now, Stephen Bullivant, who's a great guy, he's writing for the Catholic Herald on this. He's a professor of theology and society of religion. He's got a book about why people left the Mass after Vatican II. It's called Mass Exodus. Interesting book. He teaches at St. Mary's Twickenham in the UK. And he talks about the actual Blessed Lucy of Narnia. So this is actually a really cool story. And I think in this case, truth is better than fiction. And let me tell you a little bit about her. First of all, she was born in the late 15th century. I'll make this really quick. In the 1400s. And her name was Lucia, which is Lucy in English, obviously. Lucia Brocadelli. And she came from the ancient Umbrian town of Narni, which is Narnia in Latin. So there you go. And she was very pious when she was young. She had a lot of visions. She received a lot of visions from Christ at a young age. Her father died when she was in her early teens, and she got married. And very often people were married quite young at that time. She was married off. It was an arranged marriage. She was married off by her uncle to a guy named Pietro, who was the Count of Milan. So he was a pretty important dude. Pietro, the Count of Milan, married her. But they didn't have a romantic relationship. It was kind of an arranged marriage, and neither one of them was like, I don't know, for whatever, I don't know the background on this, but they lived as brother and sister, okay? So they did not have a romantic relationship in that sense. So she was very famous when she was the countess. Lucy was very famous for being a prayerful person, and she really took care of the poor in Milan. She actually would bake bread for them herself, and she eventually was drawn to the religious life, and so was her husband. And this happened a lot, by the way, in the early church and throughout church history, where obviously there were some married priests in the early church, and a lot of them they could only become priests if their wife was okay with it, because they knew they'd have to be celibate, and very often the wife would become a nun. Well, that's exactly what happened with this couple. She became a Dominican, and he joined the Franciscans. She became a Dominican tertiary. So at any rate, she apparently received the stigmata, Lucy of Narnia, and she became the prioress of a convent. But this is crazy. Her successor, the next prioress, you know, the mother superior of the convent, locked her up. She locked her. I don't know. They had some sort of, she locked up her predecessor, Lucy of Narnia, and Lucy died in 1544. Her body was exhumed in 1710 and found to be incorrupt. And that's when she was beatified by Pope Clement XI. So she still needs that one extra miracle to be canonized. So, hey, go for her intercession. And this is just wild. So as Stephen Bullivant writes, he says, suppose that you know, when you think about Lucy of Narnia, imagine there actually once was a little girl called Lucy. She lived a life of faith, hope, and charity. She suffered a lot, but she loved even more. And she's now in her true home in the company of her Lord. Now that, as C.S. Lewis would be the very first to admit, is infinitely more amazing, delightful, and cheerful than all the wardrobes, all the Turkish delight and magical lions that you could possibly imagine. Blessed Lucy of Narnia, pray for us. Thought that was a really cool story. So thanks for sharing that, Lucas. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Did you know about her before, Lucy?
I had heard of her before, yeah, actually, because on this day 4 years ago is when I came into the Catholic Church, and I looked up to see if there was any cool saints that had feast days on this day, and I found Blessed Lucy of Narnia, and I was like, no way. Like, coming from a Protestant background and being a huge C.S. Lewis fan, I was like, wow, maybe she was looking out for me and helping me along the way. So
that's incredible. Cool. I didn't know this was your anniversary day of coming into the church.
Yeah, so. I'm only 4 years old.
You're a four-year-old Catholic,
yeah,
and yet you have the grave responsibility of keeping me in line and producing this show. So,
yeah, something like that.
Well, I always tell people you can become Catholic. It just takes a moment to be Catholic, right? I mean, you got to get through RCIA and all that stuff, but the rate at which you grow is kind of up to you. You know, how much you're going to correspond with God's grace. Do you want to become a saint?
Yeah,
and a lot of people. You know, let's face it, they're stuck. They have a seventh grade Catholicism because they haven't really done anything with their faith since they got confirmed. And so look at you, man. After 4 years, you're, wow.
God, if
you're killing it.
God's grace can accomplish mighty things. That's all I can say.
Well, I tell you, this is a great anniversary. I'm glad you told me about it. So it's kind of a feast day for you.
By the way, Kale, yeah. Do you want to come over this Sunday and eat cupcakes and watch Narnia? And we can do that in between the Bills game and the Sunday night game.
The Chronicles of Narnia. You know I'm down for that. Absolutely. Sweet. Get some Magnolia cupcakes.
All right. Let's do it. Sounds good. Right.
Well, hey. A lot of you guys, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Man, I wish I had another hour for this show, I'll tell you, because so many great callers. I want you to call back and call back tomorrow. We will be back at the same bat time, same bat channel on Relevant Radio. Find us online, relevantradio.com, the app. Share with a friend. Tell people about the show. That's how people find out. Social media. Be social. Be sociable. Luke Salt produced. Patrick Alog took calls. You kept him busy today. Take it away, Michaela. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.